Today's feast of the baptism of the Lord affords us a wonderful opportunity about the gift of baptism, the sacrament of baptism. But also it can be an occasion for us to ask some tricky questions. Namely, why was Jesus baptized? If he was God and without sin, what was the point of it all? And I think a clear distinction is necessary for us to sort through any potential confusion. And the distinction is this: the baptism of John is not the same as Christian baptism. Yes, it's baptism because it speaks of water and immersion. But St. John the Baptist speaks just as much to say that his baptism is, in a sense, incomplete. That while he baptizes water, the one to follow after him will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was one marking repentance. And we see in the stories of those who came from afar to the banks of the Jordan that they experienced much transformation, that sinners and tax collectors and soldiers were coming to John the Baptist asking him, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and receive baptism." And it is true that in Christian baptism we are called to do something similar, especially for those who approach baptism as adults, and especially to any of you here who are in our RCIA program to receive baptism at the Easter Vigil, to recognize that in baptism you are entering into a definitive turning point in your life in which you are to renounce, rebuke, and reject sin in your lives. And similarly, that's what people did when they received baptism from John. But that is not the end of the story. For Christian baptism is more than saying no to sin, it is saying yes to something greater, namely God and our belonging, our communion in his church, the body of Christ. And so we can see chronologically that there is this key difference, that the reason why the baptism of John cannot be like Christian baptism is because there was no church to be baptized into yet. Jesus had not yet founded his church upon the rock of Peter. The Holy Spirit had not yet come in that unique and profound way on Pentecost to constitute the church. But now, after those events, we have this church, and Christ has commanded us to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a profound gift in which we are given the opportunity to reject sin and cling to God. And not only cling to him, but be immersed and integrated within the body of Christ. Yeah, so what does this baptism of our Lord do for us today? I would suggest two things as we make this transition from the Christmas season into ordinary time. First, the baptism of the Lord is a profound revelation of the identity of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. It is interesting to see that in the beginning of the gospel reading today, the people had much anticipation, and they were wondering in their hearts whether John might be the Christ, that is to say, the Messiah or the Anointed One. And this calls to mind the notion of how the kings and the prophets and priests of the Old Testament were anointed to consecrate their ministry, just as King David was anointed by the prophet Saul. And they wonder if this long-told and foretold promised Messiah will be that one to pick up upon the reign of King David. And we know John's answer. He says, "It is not I, it is someone else who will come after me." And by the end, the people receive their answer. And it comes not from the voice of John the Baptist, or angels as the shepherds were the day of Christmas, or a star for the Magi. The answer came from God himself, from the two other persons of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove upon Jesus, and the voice of the Father from heaven. The Holy Spirit coming upon our Lord, anointing him in that profound spiritual way, not with oil, but with God himself. And similarly, the voice from heaven declaring, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So as we proceed from this Christmas season into ordinary time, we can recall, be profess our faith once more and place our identity around it as Christians, that we follow Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the Lord, who is God incarnate, the Son of God. This is our Savior, this is our leader, this is our King. And secondly, as we acknowledge the identity of Christ, we can acknowledge our own baptismal Christian dignity, because by immersing his body in the waters of the Jordan, by immersing our human nature into these waters, Jesus took our human nature with him. By receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit and receiving this voice from God the Father, he shows us how our human nature can in turn participate in what Jesus has. How we, in our humanity, can receive the anointing of the Spirit. How we, while though not begotten of God, are adopted sons and daughters of God. And that carries with it a great dignity for us to say that the baptized truly are a priestly people, anointed by God, built up by him through the life of the Spirit to offer worship and praise and to proclaim the good news. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we continue with this Mass, as we approach the altar today, may we receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ worthily in the Blessed Sacrament, acknowledging his identity and also calling to mind our dignity, so that as we proceed in these weeks ahead in ordinary time, as we reflect upon the ministry of our Lord, we may see how our Lord and God calls us to greatness. He calls us to freedom. And he calls us to the fullness of love that comes from him and him alone.